What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. Today, we're on episode 71, and we're talking about seven things some Black Hebrew Israelite groups teach that's incorrect. We touched on these in a few other sermons in the past, and we've written about it. But just for more clarity for anybody coming into the series, these are the seven things you'll hear from these particular groups. And they're not correct. So let me just go down the line and show you, and then we'll get into them. First one is white people can't be saved. Or another one is Jesus only came for Israel. Number three, Paul was the Antichrist. We talked about that in the last sermon. You got to keep the law to be saved. That's number four. We talked about that in the past. Don't marry outside your nation. Another thing they will teach you is that Mexicans, Native Americans are Israelites as well. All right. You hear that from some camps. I'm going to show you how that's not true as well. And then the seventh thing is the correct name of God. It's not necessarily a false doctrine, but it's something that they harp on a lot when there's no commandment to use a specific name of God. You got a lot of languages. His name sounds different, is read different in different languages. They almost make you think that you have to say his name in the original Hebrew exactly like that, and everybody has to say his name the exact same way, and somehow that's supposed to be respecting God. And if you don't do that, if you don't have the correct name, if you're just saying God, or if you're saying Yahweh or Elohim or something, you're not right. That's just not correct. Don't get caught up in that, okay? And I've talked about this as well. You know, what's the name of Jesus? What's his correct name? Is it Yeshua? And I've written about that as well. So we will be touching on these things again. And we've spoken on most of these things, but we'll talk about them again today. So this is to give you ammunition when you come across people who will tell you these things. You can just pull up a quick scripture and show them, look, this is what the Bible says. Number one, whites can't be saved. If they tell you that, obviously that's not true. God loves the world. He wants to save everybody. He knows everybody ain't going, but it's his intention is that everybody get born again and brought into the kingdom. All right? He loves his creation. All right? He's not trying to just segment off one population of people or nationality of people and discard the rest. No. Whoever wants to come to him and follow him, he will accept them. They follow his terms. Okay? When people tell you this, when some Black Hebrew Israelite groups teach this, and I'm saying that some because not all of them do. There's a group called the Gathering of God's or Christ Church. Yeah, Gathering of Christ Church, GOCC. They believe white people can be saved. So not everybody. I'm talking specifically about those groups that don't. If they tell you this, Israel United in Christ, any of the other Hebrew Israelites that are on the street, you can tell them to go to 1 John 2, 1 and 2. All right, and it reads, my children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So he including everybody in that, not just ours only, not just to the readers of the passage, not just to the Hebrews, but to everybody. All right. So if a white person confesses their sins and they can be born again and saved, just like any other Hebrew, the scriptures are clear. All right. Here's another passage, Romans chapter 3, verses 29. It says, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. So God ain't just not dealing with just Hebrews. He's dealing with everybody, the Gentiles as well. If the Gentile want to confess their sins and repent, they can be saved just as much and God can be their God as well. See? So we got two passages that you can give them. 1 John 2, 1 and 2, and then Romans 3, 29. Tell them that. They can't do nothing with that. All right. The third one here, and this is often quoted, but they always try to refute this. And this is the classic scripture. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's very clear in itself. Now, they will take that scripture and say the world means just Israel. That don't make no sense. But then when they have this racist doctrine where, I can't say racial doctrine, it's a national doctrine where it's just about them, everybody else is damned. When scriptures like that contradict their doctrine, they have to just try to explain away the scripture. So they say the world is only referring to Israel. That don't make no sense. It's not true. That's my last passage after they've already seen the first two. Because the first one is very clear. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So sometimes they want to say Israel is just the world and what God is referring to. He's saying the whole world. So now you can't say we're just dealing with one world group, which is, it don't make no sense. Don't get involved in that, okay? They just don't want to see white people born again. They don't want to see them saved. They want to see all white people go to hell. That's what they want to see. And this is coming from unforgiveness. Anybody have been awake enough and been mistreated by white folks, I feel you. I know that's how you feel. But at the same time, if some of those people want to repent and walk in righteousness, God's going to accept them. And they'll be in heaven right alongside you. And you can't think that way about them and just exclude the entire nation. You can't do that. Most of them probably going to hell, just based off of what I'm seeing. But God loves everybody. He knows most people ain't coming. He's extended salvation to everybody, all right? So let's get rid of all this unforgiveness and this exclusivity when it comes to salvation. He gave it to everybody, all right? 2 Peter 3:9 says that it's God's wish that none perish, but all come into repentance. So once again, his heart is that everybody be saved, that nobody be damned, that everybody repents of their sins and comes to him. But he also knows that most people ain't coming. Jesus said the broad road is wide and a lot of people going down that road to their destruction, whereas there's a narrow road, few find that one. So he's telling you the ratio between, you know, who's going to be saved and who's not. And it's going to be a very few people that's going to be saved. Everybody has a opportunity to be born again and to walk in the Spirit. Everybody has that. He loves everybody. He's trying to save everybody, but he knows that most people are not coming. So it's not for you as a Hebrew to say, well, the white man's not the person that's going to come. Because some of them, they can be convicted and they can repent of their sins and come to God. And you can't hate on them and say they can't come. And I see a lot of that on the streets. You see the videos, they'll put them out on YouTube, making white people cry, telling them they're going to hell and ain't nothing they can do about it. And white people believe it too, walk off crying. Usually women will listen to that and pick up on that and go off crying somewhere. It's like, man, you made this woman think she going to hell. She ain't got no way of getting in. That's crazy. But they have a false doctrine. That's basically what the problem is. Okay, so these are the passages that you can use. Romans 3:29, 1 John 2, 1 and 2. There's another thing that they say. This is number two, and this is in connection with the first thing, and that is Jesus only came for Israel. So they'll say, let me quote Jesus for you, Neil, because you think you're going to pull up these other passages, but I'm going to show you how Jesus only came for Israel. This is in Matthew chapter 15, verses 24. And Jesus said, verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this is in response to a lady that was from Canaan, crying to him about her daughter, that she had a devil. And so I'm going to go into context this so you can see. Matthew chapter 15, verses 22, it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So she come to him wanting, you know, deliverance for her child. And Jesus is sitting there looking at her, not even responding to her. And then she keep on crying, all right? And to the point that the disciples come and say, hey, you need to get this lady up out of here. Won't you tell us to go remove her so we can just go on about our business? Because she just making all this noise. And he responds and says, Verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs. So now he's pretty much calling her a dog. Okay, this woman up here crying about her daughter full of the devil. She knows he delivers people, and he ain't giving no kind of play. He's not even responding to her. Then he says, I ain't even here for you. Then he called her a dog and say, look, it's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. In other words, I'm not going to give you no blessings. I'm not giving blessings to dogs. And then she responds in verse 27. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So she's like, I'm going to still be here. You ain't about to get me up out of here with no something that would be offensive to me. You know, she could have just walked away offended because man, he called me a dog and he's talking about he ain't going to bless me. She's like, look, even the dogs eat the crumbs. If you want to call me a dog, that's fine. In verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So she persisted and she got what she wanted. She wanted salvation, deliverance for her daughter. Even though she got called a dog, even though she got ignored, he gave it to her. Why? Because of her faith. She believed, and so he gave it to her. And that's what God responds to, faith. It don't matter which nationality you with. If you Hebrew, if you Gentile, it don't matter. If you got faith in God, you'll get what you want from God. You'll be saved by God. That's the story right here. Now, let's go back to what he said. He only came for the lost sheep of Israel. If that's the case, he wouldn't have did nothing for her. Well, I can't heal you. I can't heal your daughter because I'm only here for Israel. If he was only there for Israel, he would be in sin for working with anybody outside of Israel. If God told him, look, don't you save none of them? Don't you bring the gospel to none of them? Don't you heal none of them? All right. If you do, you're wrong for that. But he didn't get chastised by his father for this. He went ahead and did it. So the reality here is that the gospel message salvation is for everybody. Gentiles persist and have faith in God. They'll be blessed just as much as the Hebrews are. But yeah, he came for the lost sheep of Israel. His message and his gospel, while he was there, was only for Israel. But we see he taught the disciples later on after he died and rose again, and then he spoke with people for about 40 days, and then he ascended. He said, go therefore and preach the gospel to everybody, to all nations. So let me just go to that passage. Matthew 28:18-20. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He didn't say just Hebrews. He didn't say just Israelites, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So this ain't about just Hebrews. We were the nation created by God to be a light to the rest of the world. We failed them. And so he gave the gospel to the Gentiles. All right. But he still used those Hebrews who were faithful to him to do this. This time he's still talking to Hebrews, telling them, preach the gospel to everybody. All right. And one of those particular apostles was Paul. And he was sent primarily to talk to the Gentiles. All right. So God is trying to save everybody. Salvation is not for just Hebrews. It's for everybody. All right. So there's your passage. Those are your scriptures right there. The word, just read the Bible. These cats want to isolate certain scriptures and say, see, Jesus just said he came for this. But continue reading the rest of the scriptures. At the end of Matthew, he's telling his people, preach it to everybody. All right, so that's one and two. We covered those two. Number three, we talked about Paul being, was Paul the Antichrist. And they say that they just want to get rid of his ministry because they don't like what he says. We already talked about that, so I'll just have a link to that sermon in the notes here. The next thing that they teach that's incorrect is that you got to keep the law to be saved. I've already been going over this with you, but the law is a taskmaster to keep us in check until we had the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that empower us to please God. All right? That's what the law is for. It's to show us that we're wicked and we're not up to the standard of God. Once the Holy Spirit came, once the blood came to wash away our sins, then now we have the power to please God, and we're not under the law because we're not lawless individuals. We're children of God now. We're not under that because laws is for people who do wrong. They need to be told over and over again, this ain't right. Slow down. Don't drive through here. Don't be like that. Tell the truth. They got to be told that over and over again because they're wicked inside. The righteous have the heart written, the law written on their heart. They have the Holy Spirit empowering them to do the right thing. So they're not under the law. That's what it means. It doesn't mean the law was done away with. All right. Now, if you try to keep the law, you're going to die in your flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you fulfill the law in love. That's how it works. So they don't teach walking in the Spirit. They say, go back to the Old Testament, pull up the Ten Commandments, pull up the other 613 laws, and try to do those. That's what they tell you. And all they're going to do is promote failure in your life. And a lot of hypocrisy, too. Because you're going to be trying to hide stuff that you fail in that, and then while you're condemning other people. So I've been over that with you. I've written about it, and I've also... number five, they teach you don't marry outside your nation. So they make this a racial thing, too. So now, if you're a Black Hebrew Israelite, don't marry no white people. You can't. If you marry to white people, you in sin. And then I've seen couples be hurt by this, where usually the white women are emailing me talking about how their husband is so against them now that he's become a Black Hebrew Israelite. And it tells me something about the man, that how is it that you love your wife, you married her, but now you got a doctrine and now you hate her because they said she's a devil. Like, what kind of love are you? Nobody could do that for me. They couldn't make me hate my wife. Just how you gonna do that? And from a biblical perspective, once you marry a woman, I don't care who she is, she becomes a part of your nation. That's it. If you are a Hebrew Israelite, or you want to label yourself that, she is now part of that. All right. And we have instances of that in scripture where people married into Israel and they became part of Israel. Women who were one nation, they came into Israel. Now they're part of that nation. They are no longer that other nation. So it's not a sin for you to marry outside your nation. And so race is something else. That's something created by Caucasian. Race doesn't exist. There's no such thing as white and black and stuff. These are labels in the class system. The Bible says to marry in the Lord. Okay, so if you're born again and you're following God, it doesn't matter who you marry, as long as they are born again and they're following God too. So you can be white and marry a black woman, that's fine with me. If you're a black man, you marry a white woman, as long as y'all in the Lord, that's fine with me. That's fine with God too. All right. So that's what that's about. Do I need to bring up scripture? Maybe I do. Let me do that. 1 Corinthians 7:39. It says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So if you're born again, marry whoever you want, as long as they're in the Lord. He didn't say you need to stay with your nationality. He didn't say that. So these are lies they're teaching you. When these guys are dating or married to white women, and now that she's the devil now, come on, man. I remember a guy telling me that. I started getting upset with my wife. I started seeing her as the devil. Like, how can they make you think that? What kind of foundation is your marriage on that another man can start saying your wife is the devil and then you believe it? Just because of her skin color or her lack of melanin, basically, because there's no color there. How is it that you can do that? You got to question your relationship structure, because for some man to come in and say that about your wife and you believe it, that's ridiculous to me. So any nationality you can marry, Because God has a new covenant. He's brought in the Gentiles. If they follow God and you follow God, no matter who you marry, it's fine with him. All right. Now, prior to that, in the Old Testament, I'm not going to read all the passages because you already know them. Those who support this doctrine, he says, don't go outside of the nation because they're going to turn you away from me. And they did. Why? Because those nations didn't have the law. They weren't following God's law. They were practicing all kind of idolatry and all kind of wickedness. And for to bring somebody with that mindset into the camp would only pollute what was going on in the Israel lifestyle, their government system. So if you were to marry somebody outside of you, you're causing divisions and problems because these people don't think like the Israelites. They weren't brought up like that. So, yeah, you ain't supposed to marry outside of them. God was trying to preserve Israel. The next one is that they teach that Mexicans and Native Americans are also Israelites. It's partially true is because Israelites, when they were in captivity in America, fled to Mexico. They also fled to Florida, where there were still some Native Americans there, and they intermingled. And we talked about this. And so they got some of that blood in there with them, okay? And so some of those people, specifically the Afro-Mexicans, those are Israelites, all right? And then there are groups of people within these Native American tribes that are really Israelites. They mixed in, but they still got they understand their line. They know where they came from. They know they all came on the ship. But some people want to say that the entire Mexican nation are Israelites, or the whole Native Americans are the Israelites. Thing about it is they never identify themselves as that. And they haven't been through the curses like we have. They just don't fit the curses. Now, all these brown nations have been mistreated by white folks. That's what we have in common. But they ain't been through the curses like we have. And you look at their history, you just go through Mexican history, you go through Native history. They was always serving false gods. They didn't have this one God in these laws and these commandments that we do. We can trace our people groups when we go back to the Ashanti, when we go back to the Igbo people. We see that we practicing the things of Israel. You just pull out your Bible and see, oh, that's parallel. That's the same thing. But when you go back to the history of the Native Americans and the Mexicans, you don't see that. They always worship a bunch of gods. They never had this one true God that they. So just look at the history. You know, those are not the people. There's some of us were intermingled with them, but those are not the people. And so they have this 12 tribe chart, which is, in my opinion, is made up. I don't agree with it. You can't know a lot about where all these people, because we're scattered everywhere. So that's how you deal with that. Don't get caught up in this thinking that some Mexican is your Israelite brother. Okay, he's your brother in Christ if he's born again, but he not no Israelite. Okay, and that Native American, that's not no Israelite. Okay, and a lot of Native Americans today, they fired out the Indians. They really was white and they just jumped on the bandwagon and you know, so that's another story. But the bottom line is, don't believe that. They be including all kind of people in that ain't got nothing to do with Israel. They ain't been through no curses or nothing. And they kind of just make it seem like every brown nation that's been oppressed by white folks are obviously Israelites, you know, and then they exclude certain African groups or nations rather, or tribes. Well, they've been mistreated by white folks too. Why they not on it? Were they Hamites and you know, blah, blah, blah. Don't get caught up in that. Follow the Lord. And because the new covenant and the Holy Spirit's been poured out, whoever is following God is your brother in Christ. And that's what I call it today. I don't really get caught up in, oh, there's a black guy, he's my Hebrew brother. He ain't my brother if he's not following God. Look at all those church people and those black Christians over there. Those people ain't my brothers. They're not my sisters. They don't follow God. Jesus said, who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my mother? Those who do the will of God. So if you do the will of God and you born again, you walk in the spirit, you my brother and you my sister. If you Indian, if you got the Holy Ghost, you my sister. If you Japanese and you got the Holy Ghost, you my brother in Christ. If you Mexican, Native American, if you white and you born again and you got the Holy Ghost, you my brother or sister in Christ. Now, the seventh thing is the correct name of God. I touched on it briefly, but the problem with this is that God made no commandment, thou shalt keep my name holy, and to always say my name properly, and this is my name. He didn't do that. One of the things that Moses, first thing he said, what I'm going to tell the people, who are you? And he said, just tell them I am that I am. That ain't no name. He's basically saying, you can't put no label on me. You can't title me. I'm everything and all. I can't. Just tell them I am that I am. Okay, I'm the God of your ancestors. Just tell them that. When you hear Elohim, you hear all these other different names, they represent something he does. It's still not necessarily his name, you know, and everybody thinks they got the proper name. His name is Yah. His name is something else. So they always pronounce it. And then they go so far to get the old Hebrew characters and place them out there and start walking around with T-shirts on. And it just bothers me because you go to some of these sites and it just seems like it's in the foreign language, you know. And I know what you're saying. Well, I'm Hebrew, so I'm trying to project my Hebrew heritage and use the old language. Yeah, but you can't mix English with Hebrew. If you're going to be Hebrew, go all the way, man. You know, but they just speak in English. You are in your captivity. You are English. Speak English. If his name is translated Jesus or God, just use God and Jesus. He know who you're talking to. If your heart is right and you want to reach out to the true and most high God, he know who he talking to. Okay? You ain't got to find out what the correct name is. But if you want to do that, that's fine. I'm not knocking nobody for doing research and saying I got the correct name. But don't put that on other people. If you want to say his name is Yeshua, fine. Go ahead and use that. That's fine. As long as you connect it to the right God and you know you got the right heart and you want to serve him. But a lot of the time I see people, they legalistic with this. They're very upset when you don't use the correct terms, and they make you out to be somebody that's not educated because you don't use the right term that they believe his name is and how to pronounce and how to write it. Okay? And so I don't get into that. All right? Like I said, there's no commandment, thou shalt keep my name holy, and this is my name. You better say it this way, pronounce it this way, or else you ain't right with me. He didn't say that. He's more concerned with you obeying him rather than how you pronounce his name. Another thing, different languages don't sound different. What are you doing? You're caught up on something that's not as important as what's most important to God, which is to love your neighbor as yourself and love God with your whole heart. Those are two greatest commandments. Focus on doing that. And you know what? The Black Hebrew Israelites, these different camps, they don't do that. They don't love their brothers themselves, and they don't love God with their whole heart. They want to jump on and tell you to keep the Sabbath. They got a whole doctrine around that and a whole nation or religion around that. And they got a whole thing about the name. It's called a sacred namer movement. Whereas a people just, this is about the name of God. The whole doctrine and movement is about a name. What about pleasing God? I wish there was a pleasing God movement. I wish there was a love your neighbor movement. So these are seven doctrines that are false. Number one, white people can't be saved. They can be saved. The scriptures are clear. Jesus only came for Israel. Yes, he did. That was his specific ministry, but his disciples and his apostles were sent out to do the rest of the work, which is to save the Gentiles. Okay? God came for everybody. Jesus, the Son of God, came just for Israel to talk to them. Number three, Paul was the Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist. People don't like what he's saying because he built on the teachings of Jesus. He told you that the law was good, but you can't follow without the Spirit of God. Okay, he's not going against the teachings of Jesus. We talked about that in another sermon. Number four, you got to keep the law to be saved. No, you don't. You need to walk in the Spirit to be saved. Walking in the Spirit gives you the power to keep the law, and you're not under the law anymore because you are a righteous individual by faith. All right? The law is written on your heart. You do the right thing when you walk in the Spirit. All right? So don't focus on keeping the law in your flesh. I just got to do these things. No, you need to yield to God and say, I'm humbling myself because I'm weak and I'm messed up. I need your power. And once you do that, you have the power to please God. Right? Number five, don't marry outside your nation. Once again, anybody in Christ, whatever nationality they are in, is open for marriage. You can marry whoever you want. Doesn't matter who they are, as long as they're born again and in Christ. All right. Number six, Mexicans and Native Americans are Hebrews. That's partially true. We fled to these different places and intermingled, but the whole nation as a whole, like the Mexicans or the Native Americans, are not Hebrews. These people haven't been through the curses. Their history does not show a one God that they worshiped, and the laws and commandments, none of that information is there. And they will tell you, man, we ain't no Israelites. That's crazy. All right, number seven, sacred name movement. They make you feel like you're in sin if you're not pronouncing the name properly or writing it down properly. So don't get caught up in that. You know, God wants you to obey him rather than try to pronounce and use the correct name. You know, anytime they want to refer to God or things, other things of God, they want to use a Hebrew word. And it's like, man, look, just speak it in English. Why are you going to either going to speak all Hebrew and move to Israel or speak English, man? You quit doing that. Thinking that makes you authentic Hebrew or something because you're using, like, man, you getting caught up in your heritage. You need to get caught up in God's, his righteousness. Get caught up in that. But they so proud of their ethnicity. And they don't know Hebrew, so they know a few words, and they gonna keep pushing that. You know, not to me, you're doing too much, man. Just use God. He know who you're talking to. Just use Jesus. He know who you're talking to. Holy Ghost, you know, just use the Holy Ghost. And oftentimes, when they're teaching, they got to always clarify what they're talking about. Every Hebrew word they use, they got to turn around and say, okay, this is what that's what that means. We'll just use it. Like one particular preacher, I'm watching him, and all the books of the Bible, he didn't found the Hebrew translation for. So now when he references the book of Matthew, it's something like Matthias or something like Matthias. And then he has to tell you, oh, that's the book of Matthew. And I'm like, man, just use Matthew. We don't know what you're talking about, man. You did those personal studies, man. Just use the book of Matthew. So now it looks foreign and you can't really understand it. And a lot of them like that. Now you got to come to me as a teacher because you can't understand what I'm talking about. Just use simple terms. They know the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just use those words. They know what God means. They know what Jesus means. Don't use all these different terms to refer to stuff. You know, especially if you're a teacher. You're making it complicated for the people. You're supposed to make it easier for them to understand. You don't go into all these deep Hebrew languages and try to get people to learn like that. You can't do that. That's all I got for you. Till next time, walk in the Spirit.